This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 47 with Mariah Cause of Femtrepreneur. Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. What is up, Heart Hustlers? I am stoked for today's interview because I have the Mariah Cause from Femtrepreneur on the show. Now, you might have heard of Mariah because she is huge online. And one of the reasons I was so excited to have her on the show was I had an opportunity to get to meet her in person at a small retreat that I went to at the end of 2016, actually right before I took a little vacation. And I got to meet her and several other people in a small retreat of about a dozen of us. And I got to learn more about her business. And one of the things that I love about what Mariah does is that she helps people build digital courses, but she loves to serve people in non-business to business niches, which means she doesn't only help people launch courses about Instagram or ads or marketing. And it's really easy to get caught up in thinking that those are the only courses that sell, but she has courses in all kinds of niches. I won't spoil the surprise, but I will tell you that she has some stuff as cool as cake decorating. Like seriously, people making money selling courses on decorating cakes. It does not get any cooler than that. Mariah has done so much amazing stuff. She's built up the Femtrepreneur blog to crazy amazing levels. She's been building businesses since 2008. She was in a touring punk band. She's done everything from selling clothes on Etsy to public speaking. She even did some freelance museum creation. I mean, Mariah has just done so much amazing stuff. She is such a giving and lively personality. As soon as we met and chatted for a little bit of time, we realized we had to have her on the show. So I won't go on any further. I will just introduce you to Mariah Cause of Femtrepreneur. Hey, Mariah, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Zach. I'm really excited to talk about creating and launching products and courses and building our email list and all the stuff we're going to get into.
Yes, it is going to be so much fun. But before we dive into all the good stuff, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, what your brand is, and how you got to where you are?
Awesome. So my name is Mariah Cause and my brand is called Femtrepreneur. Very difficult to spell. Very bad mistake to name it that. A lot of times I have to check myself, like, did I spell it correctly? So I run femtrepreneur.co and we primarily help people create and launch their world-changing courses. So we attract a lot of people who are creating courses that have a really positive impact in the world. I have a background in selling courses in all different niches and B2C niches. So a lot of our students who are creating and launching their first courses are also in these other totally different niches. So although, of course, we do have students who sell B2B type stuff, we have so many cool students who are selling things in all these different niches that you've probably never heard of. I know I'd never heard of them before I met these people. So we really help people just create their weird, unique online courses and make them really successful. A lot of times it's the first online course their industry has ever seen, which is really exciting.
I love that. And that was one of the reasons I was so excited to have you on the show, because in like the online course space, I think it's really easy to get that tunnel vision where it looks like everybody has the course on how to build your list and run Instagram and do Facebook ads.
Totally.
Which ironically, we have courses like that. But I love that you help people in niche markets. Can you share with us like a couple of really unique niches to like really concrete cement that thought process? And then we'll talk about launching them, because you have helped people in some of the coolest niches ever.
Yeah, definitely. So cake decorating is one, classical music, or like how to audition for being in the orchestra, playing a classical instrument, which is really cool. Fashion design, breastfeeding, postpartum depression, how to cope and report sexual abuse. We have so many amazing students that are sharing their own personal experiences through their online course and in turn guiding other people through that journey or guiding other people through an experience to some sort of desired outcome. And so much of that, you know, comes from the things that I learned in B2C niches. So a lot of people, I think there's, you know, we all know, it's no secret that there's tons of people out there in the world teaching how to launch your first online course, but I don't know any of them that started out selling a small course in a really small niche. I started out selling a course about how to live in a vintage trailer. So that was my first online course. It was became very, very successful very quickly. And it's one of those things where I feel like when people see that, they're like, oh, okay, so this really does apply to every niche. And the way that I learned marketing, I've never taken a marketing course, never taken an online business course, didn't read any books. I definitely just did everything on gut and instinct. And I learned it all in B2C. So I know that it applies and works in those other industries. Whereas a lot of people, I think, are just, they've only ever taught marketing. They're just in this marketing bubble. You know, they've never had a business in another industry. So I don't know how they can talk about it.
I love it. I love it. And interestingly enough, that's actually my first ever digital course was not in B2B. It was a vegan food blog, actually transitioning to a plant-based diet. And that was our first ever digital course where we got our feet wet. So I love that you talk about that. Awesome. So I think it's safe to say that regardless of what you teach, if you have the ability to package up the education the right way, it's profitable B2C or B2B.
Absolutely. I mean, what people don't understand, what people don't realize is they look at me and they look at you and they say, well, selling how to make money online courses is the easy way. They're like, oh, I wish I could, I should just be a business coach, or I should just sell business courses, or I should just give up the thing that I am passionate about and just start teaching business because that's the easy way to make money online. What they don't understand is that me, I am constantly looking for what other markets we're going to break into that have nothing to do. Like, if I told you some of the markets that we're going to be creating products for over the next 2 years, you'd be like, I don't even know what that is. What is that? Like, did you know that there's a whole, like, super intense subculture of people who are just obsessed with Honda Elements? I have a Honda Element, so I know about this, and we're going to create a product for them. So it's like, there's all these, there's all these really niche things. And me as a person in the B2B niche and having other businesses in other niches, I'm constantly looking for how we can bring our marketing knowledge into these other niches, because it's way less saturated. There's usually sort of a novelty about it where people aren't super used to seeing tons of webinars and Facebook ads and stuff like that. And people think that it's easy to do the B2B stuff. But from my perspective, I'm always looking of how we can get into B2C niches. So if you're in a B2C niche, you're in a really, really good spot. If there's not a lot of other courses in your industry, awesome. Like, don't use that as an excuse. That's an opportunity.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that that's a really... that's something we hear all the time. It's like, oh, well, it would be easier if I was teaching people to make money. And you're like, right. But it wouldn't be because
and
you
I'm like,
to
no.
be louder.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's so hard. You have no idea. It's so much easier to create something for a different industry that isn't used to, isn't like just inundated with this stuff all the time.
Yeah. I love it. So talk to us a little bit about that kind of initial course launch. So when you're first thinking about it, regardless of the niche, like, what is the first step to, okay, I know I want to do a digital course, and maybe I'm a few months in, like 3 or 4 months, I've listened to some of the podcasts, and I get, okay, put out content, maybe a freebie, build my list, sell my product, and then I don't understand how to connect the dots.
So we want us to start with a really like low commitment first product. And that's low commitment on your part, not because you're not passionate and care about what you're putting out there, but because it's your first product. And so I think one of the things we should talk about for a little minute is just the different types of low commitment products that are really suitable for your first ever product. I suggest that your first digital product doesn't necessarily have to be called a quote unquote course. Like, it could be a paid workshop or a virtual workshop or some other sort of terminology that you decide to use. Could even be something that's just like a downloadable template or something, and it doesn't necessarily have to be called a course. But that first digital product should be somewhere between $47 and $97. And your goal, at least like to me, the goal is to just validate that to your business, but oftentimes to yourself. Like, I think that that first product that you put out, that first like $47 to $97 like intro product, and we'll talk about what that looks like, that to me is proving to yourself that you're capable of pulling off a project at that size. Like, a lot of times you've never done this before. You've never written email sequence. You've never done a live workshop or a webinar. You've never made slides before. You've never sold your own brain to someone else. And that can just be totally crazy to think like someone is gonna pay money for something that's in my brain that I already have in my brain. And people, I mean, I know for me, I was just like, I don't know why this is working, but it's working. And people have this total block, I think, around just someone is going to pay you for your brain knowledge. So, you know, it's essentially the purpose isn't to make $1 million. It's to sell 10 or 20 spots, make $1,000, basically to prove to yourself that you're capable of this. And also to get practice delivering value and making a product and all the moving pieces that go along with that. So I think some of the best kinds of product to start with, and Zach, I love your ideas about this too. What you just told me before we hopped on, I was like, well, that's brilliant. I'm gonna have to share that with my people too. So I like the first product I started with was just an email course. So totally text-based, like 4-week email course would be a really great product to start with as a first-time product. My reasoning for that is that it's something that's completely text-based. If you've written 4 blog posts in your life or 4 pieces of content, you're capable of writing a weekly lesson that will go out via email, and you just create the first lesson and then you pre-sell. And then you create the rest of the lessons as the course is going that first session. By the end of that first session is hard and you're creating the content as you go. And then by the end of it, it's done. So it could be something like that. I also think that creating a paid live workshop that's maybe 2 to 3 hours that you charge $47 to $97 for is a really good first product, because you don't have to record anything beforehand. You just have to make the slides and the content and then deliver it live. So that requires very little like preparation and production.
That's awesome. And just for reference, because you threw it out there, we were talking a little bit about filling up a webinar and selling the replay. So we have a full download on that. It's episode number 20. We'll put a link in the show notes for that one. But I love that you talk about starting with a low ticket product, because I think the kind of feeling out there right now is like the easiest way to hit 6 figures is to make a $19.97 course that has all the bells and whistles and then sell like 100 copies of it and then go sail off into the sunset with a mimosa. But it doesn't really work like that. And in fact, some of my first products, even in the food blog niche, I think we started at like $5 products when we did our first launch. So can you talk a little bit about that? I guess I wouldn't call it conflicting, but conflicting to like what we see.
Well, yeah. It's because it's for two different people. And it's because like there's a group of people who starting off with launching a $9.97 course or even like a $7.97, like starting off with a premium course makes perfect sense for a group of people. And then there's another group of people that doesn't make sense for. So those are like two, if it sounds like two opposing things, it's just for either people at two different levels or just different people with different experiences. So if you've never sold something of your own creation before, it can be a lot of people just don't believe that they can charge $9.97 right off the bat. So selling something for $97 and getting people to say yes, and just, it's honestly so much a self-belief thing where it's just like, oh yeah, I'm capable of selling something that I created and it is valuable and people will pay for it. So some people are not capable of thinking that they can create something worth $9.97 right off the bat. That was me. Like I, for honestly so long, like, oh my gosh, like 3 years, I didn't charge more than $3.97 for a course because I didn't think I was worth it. Didn't think I was capable of creating something worth $1,000. Now we have courses and we've had masterminds that cost, you know, up to $12,000. So gotten over that. But there was a long time where I was like, you know, I'm not capable of producing something with that much that people would pay that much for.
And I think that that's huge. That's something that I kind of struggled with and why in this market, I priced my first course at $97. Because I thought I can charge $97 and then I can always go up. And that's what we did. And now we do have courses. Those $97 courses went up to $297. And even our $1,000 course, we started with a $500 level because I was like, who's going to pay $1,000? And that's something that not enough people talk about. So I'm so glad that you brought that up. So can you tell us a little bit? So we build out this first product, we're feeling pretty good about it, or at least we build out the first component of this first product. So the first email or the outline of the workshop that you're going to pre-sell, how do you kind of start getting in front of the right people in your industry? Especially if you're in like a business to consumer niche, like cake decorating. I don't know, maybe there are, but are there like cake decorating Facebook groups, or how do you break in?
So there's definitely blogs, Facebook groups, communities. So we always tell our people to go find these forums online, whether it's a actual forum, like an old school like forum website. A lot of the customers in my other niches hang out on forums like that have been around since like the 90s. So there's that type of place. There's also Facebook groups. There's also Reddit. So Reddit isn't good for every single person, but it is how I started a couple of my businesses in the past, was like based on the subreddits and the communities on Reddit and seeing what was needed there. And then not in a very self-promo-y way, because some subreddits are different than others in their promotional rules, but asking the moderators if it was appropriate to post my free checklist or free opt-in in the group and just answer questions and be valuable, and getting permission to do that. That was a really good way to get started. Also, basically, just the thing is that like your audience is out there, it already exists. So you just need to like enter the community where they're already at. You don't want to be like, oh, I'm sitting here and I'm waiting to like magnetically attract people over to me. You have to go into the spots where they already are. Sometimes that's a blog. Sometimes that means that you need to do a guest blog post for the most popular, you know, one of the popular blogs in your niche, especially in those other B2C niches. Sometimes it means that you need to contact the leader of those communities and ask them, you know, especially if it's something that they haven't seen before. It's like, oh, there aren't any other freebies. There aren't any other free workshops like this. There aren't any other, you know, courses like this in this industry. And they're just so excited to promote it because it's totally new. It's not like they get inundated with requests for this every single day. That's how I did it. I would just reach out to people who had blogs and be like, hey, is it okay if I do a guest post, or would you mind like posting on your Facebook page about this like little download that I made, or I wrote this free ebook, you know, stuff like that.
I love that. And I think that, you know, you're kind of a no nonsense person when it comes to marketing in a lot of ways, like I am. And I really like that. And one of the kind of underlying things that I'm kind of hearing here is almost it's doing the stuff that we know works, but we haven't actually done the first step to
actually doing it. I can't tell you how many people in our courses will lay out these scenarios. They'll have come up with these very detailed scenarios in their mind of like what's not going to work and like how it's going to look when they fail. And like they've had these like very, people will send us these messages that are like these very detailed written out scenarios of like, okay, so like what if I ask 10 people to do a webinar with me and then they all say no, and then they all tell other people not to say yes to me. And like they've gone down this rabbit hole of like, what if none of the things work? And I'm like, can you honestly just give it a shot and then tell me if you've done the 10 things and if you've reached out to 10 potential guest post opportunities, and if they all say no, then you should come and tell me that they all said no and we'll figure out what's going on, what's wrong with your pitch. But please don't tell me that like that stuff doesn't work and you haven't ever tried it. I mean, we were just talking about this.
Yeah, I was so hopeful that you'd be like, yeah, exactly. That really is what it is. And it's so funny because what we kind of said, or what I kind of said, like, gosh, what is it, like 3 or 4 minutes ago, was it's put out good content, get eyes on it, build the list, sell the product. There are the intricacies that we have to learn. Like, it really is that simple. If you go out and ask people to promote you, like, statistically, eventually someone will say yes, unless you're a sucky person, and then, like, they're never going to say yes. But
yeah.
But if you're a good person with a good message and something good coming to the table, like, people do want to reciprocate and help. And, I mean, we even talked about that on your show, like, go do something that's easy for people to share, or do something that's hard for you that's easy for someone to say yes to. So I love that. Yeah. Okay, so let's say you're breaking into this space. I don't know, maybe we can touch a little bit on like, so you're doing these guest posts. I'm assuming that you're driving people to either a freebie or to get on your list. So once you kind of get out there, get eyes on your content, start to build the list, how do you go about positioning this first product to kind of get that first $1,000 validation?
That's a good point. I didn't know what positioning was when I started both of my businesses that I now run. And so I never thought about things like that. I think what I thought about is just like, are there people that are already out there saying that they're struggling with something that I can help them with? So I wasn't necessarily worried about like, how am I positioning this? How does it look? I think a lot of people get caught up in like the brand of their first product, and like they'll spend like, oh gosh, we've had people before they come into our courses, they have taken other people's courses and they're like, oh, I spent, you know, $5,000 on a brand for a product that was not validated. And I think people get caught up in all that kind of stuff. I think the only thing you need to do is over the 3 or 4 weeks leading up to when you want to release and pre-sell this first validation product is share as much as you can and don't be stingy with your smartness. And so people are like, oh, I don't want to give away too much because then no one's going to buy my product. But if you don't give it all away and talk openly and do like open Q&As and answer people's questions and do a Facebook Live and just be super generous and write like these amazing epic blog posts and just get your content out there and share everything you can, it's still going to be in bits and pieces. Even if you shared all this content, it would still only be like 20% of your actual paid product. Even if you put all this energy into like answering everyone's question and not holding back. And if you hold back, everyone is going to know. Everyone's going to be like, why are you dodging that question? Like, why are you being weird? So you really have to just share everything you know and just be as helpful as possible and just trust that that is what's going to create those paid customers, not, oh, I gave them too much, now they don't want to buy.
Yeah, I love that. And there's a really fantastic YouTube video that we'll link up from, I want to say it's James Wedmore, but we're recording live, so I can't double check that. But we'll link it up. And essentially, it's people don't pay for content. They pay for access. They pay for order. They pay for the step-by-step. They pay for the system. And I've said this before, and I love having this stance. It's like, most of my content is out there in bits and pieces. It might not all be accessible. Maybe I did a Periscope, you know, 3 months ago, but there are certain things that are like, you know, proprietary. Maybe you're not going to give the exact email templates for free, but you can talk about those email templates and know that the people who want more, they're willing to pay for more. The transformation is in that transaction, not in reading your blog post. So
yes,
I love that.
Yeah, it can be out. Like you could go over the 4 modules of your 4-part course in, you could do one on Facebook Live, one on your blog, one in a free webinar, and one on a Periscope. And the fact that it's so just separate and disjointed and you were just verbally talking about it, it doesn't have the resources that you'd have in your course or is not as logically laid out, maybe people are seeing it out of order. That's what creates value in your paid offering. Like you said, is the structure, the accountability, someone spending money is them saying like, I really do want to make this change or I really do want to make progress on this.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, you can even, something that I always love to use as an analogy is like, if you watch, say, Jillian Michaels on a TV interview, she's going to do a workout. She's not going to go, oh, sorry, if you want to know how to do the right pushups, you have to buy my book.
Right.
She knows she's going to show you how to do it. And then you can buy the book or the workout program anyway. So it's really key to just show people what you're made of so they can determine if they want to put dollars behind that. So I love that. Okay, so just to kind of recap a little bit and walk through what we've done so far. So we've really talked about how to position yourself in your marketplace. Like it really comes down to doing the stuff that's not uber exciting. If you don't have a budget, like going out, talking to these people, you know, I'm a huge proponent of paid traffic. So maybe a little bit of paid traffic, building up this list of maybe like, you know, 100 people, putting out your first product as something that solves their problem and is very low commitment for you. And then what's kind of, I guess, the next steps. I know we're totally opening up a little bit of a can of worms, so we won't go too far down the rabbit hole, but rather than what's next, let me rephrase. What is the ultimate goal of this? So let's say everything goes right. You sell your $1,000. Now what? Where do we go from here?
So to me, there's two things that could happen there. A, the purpose of this is that you have actually proven to yourself that you're capable of executing a project at this level. You now have the confidence that you're like, I could totally make an 8-module video course now because I made a 4-module written course and I can see how I could do those little units. You know what I mean? I could make 4 more of these. And you feel like you understand that you're capable of doing this. The purpose of it is to give you the capital. So that $1,000, I would plan on reinvesting that back into better software platforms, maybe Facebook advertising, maybe just some help if you need help at that point in your business. But I think there's 2 ways this first product can go. So it can either become something that you package up and leave as a $97 product, and it becomes the introductory product in what we call your product suite. And I don't know if you're, you know, I'm sure that you talk about product suite a lot, but basically it's the order and the collection of products that you sell and what is the order that people should go through those products. So usually you might have like 3 products and it's like beginner, intermediate, advanced, and it's obvious which one you should take at what time or what stage in your business. And that could just become your intro product as it is. Or what might happen is that in the experience of running it that first time or running that workshop that first time, you'll get feedback that that could be expanded and then made into your signature course. So when we're talking about a signature course, we have a program called Launch Your Signature Course. That's kind of our flagship program. What we mean is something that you create this really high value asset that you create once that you launch again and again and again for years and years and years. So something that you just have validated and have created it so well the first time. It's different than when you create that first $47 product that's kind of like on the seat of your pants and you're just trying to see if it works. Your signature course is something that you really created it right the first time, and so you can relaunch it for many, many years to come. So it's also something that you become known for in your industry. But you're going to discover, I think, the process of launching that first $97 product will reveal to you whether that stays as an intro product or it becomes and evolves into your signature course that maybe becomes $500, $700, $1,000. I know for us, when I launched Your First 1K, which is the first femtrepreneur course that we launched, it started out at $147 and now it's $600. So that transformed and evolved into a much bigger, more robust course over time. But it started out as just like, is anyone going to buy this?
Awesome. Yeah. And I love that. And we've done the same thing with our courses. We actually have products that we sold at $97. We did a live workshop and then we retired that product because it ended up not being a good fit for our product suite. And then we had one that was a fantastic fit that evolved into a signature course. So I absolutely love that. So we walk away, we've got all kinds of stuff now. So for me, the big thing that I'm picking up on, you've got capital to actually invest in your business, which I'm a huge proponent of. I've talked about it on the show before. Like, you do have to put money in at the beginning. You no longer have to get a $20,000 loan and buy a retail location. So spend a freaking $100 on Facebook ads. Okay, off my soapbox.
You're smarter than I am. I was like, I'm not spending $100 on Facebook ads. I grew my business to $2 million with no Facebook ads.
I know.
So I'm just like, I was like, I'm saving every penny because I'm going to need this at some point. And in some ways, it worked out. A lot of people that we work with on our team are like, they like that we got sort of like an amassing of capital that we can then really invest in when it's time to like seriously scale. But I do think there is definitely a balance. Like, don't be the cheapo that I was and still be smart about like saving some of your money. But $100 is like, if you made $1,000 and you can put $100 into your next one and turn it into $5,000, that's worth it.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. So you've got the capital that you're going to reinvest however you choose for your business. You now have a product that you can either expand into more or use as a front level offer. So we hear this all the time. People are like, I'm in an online business, but I don't have any products. So now you're actually running a business. And then you've got the confidence to know you can actually sell something. So I think that those three pieces come together.
You've also built your email list during the launch.
Ooh.
So launching is list building. I have this mantra. Yes. Launching is list building. So anytime you do something that's like launching that, and that first product, the launch doesn't have to be huge. It can literally be an email sequence or just a free live webinar, could be a freaking live stream. Like, it doesn't have to be something fancy that you're launching with. And so that act of launching grows your awareness and grows your email list. Even if you're like, oh, I don't get it. Like, what the strategy? It's like, it just does.
Yeah. No, I think that's fantastic. And we literally just recorded our first episode of 2017. And that's on there. I think we say like launching builds your list. You need to launch to build your list. You don't need to build your list to launch. Okay. So you have all these things. I want to shamelessly plug something that you're working on because I think you are running a challenge on kind of how to do the introductory stuff to this, how to get that list, how to get the confidence, how to get the people to actually launch the product too. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
So we're doing a 5-day challenge based on Zach's course that I'm going through. And I'm really excited because I saw the success of your students and I was like, okay, I want to try the challenge style, you know, launch and try to make my own challenge. So we're doing a challenge that 5 days to get your first 100 email subscribers. And it's the same thing. The point is for you to get the first 100 email subscribers so you have people that you can launch that first small product to. And although we do eventually want you to get to 500, 1,000 subscribers, the first 100 is like your biggest hump. I think a lot of people, like, honestly, 0 to 1 is probably the biggest hump where it's like, I have no subscribers. And then you get the first 1 or 2 and you're like, okay, I get this. Like, people are signing up and then you just go from there. So we're doing this challenge. You can sign up at femtrepreneur.co/hustle. And we are going to, go through it from January 23rd to January 27th. And it's going to be really fun. And you're going to be doing it in a community and in a group of people who are all doing the same thing. So whether it's your first ever 100 subscribers and you're starting from zero, or or you want to get your next 100 subscribers, we're going to give you tons of cool strategies that are working in 2017. And then you can implement each day. For my goal is that you can do it in less than 30 minutes a day.
That's awesome. And we will definitely link that up in the show notes. I would throw out the episode number, but I don't know what it is off the top of my head. So I think that this has been a fantastic interview. I want to wrap it up with some last minute exit questions. And the first one is, for someone who's listening, I think that it's pretty solid listener for this episode is like somebody who's looking to get that course out there. What is something that they can do like within the next week to really start gaining some forward momentum in this first course?
So the first thing that you're going to want to do is a process that I have coined copy stalking. Copy stalking is when, and I actually have a sort of process for this that I share every couple months during a different launch that we do. It's part of my video series is showing you the spreadsheet. So I make a spreadsheet and it's full of different categories like questions people are asking, frustrations people are talking about, desires that they have. So I try to go to those Facebook groups, the subreddits, the communities, the forums. I also go to Amazon and look at ebook reviews for things in my topic. And even if I don't know exactly what my course or product should be about, what problem it should address, the first step is just going to all of those forums and communities and Facebook groups and collecting as much information as you can about those people and then organizing it into the spreadsheet where it's like, and I can totally share this with your audience. I don't usually share it outside of this launch, but I'm happy to share it with them. It's just like it has specific spots in the spreadsheet of what to put in there. So you're collecting like a lot of people are complaining about the same thing. A lot of people are saying that this is their number one desire, that they just wish that they could have this one thing. So you actually collect all this information and then you look at it, you organize it, you put it in a correct order, you color code it in the way that I like to describe it. And then you have exactly what you need to not only create the product that they really, really need, but also to create your sales page, your copy for your emails, literally every single part of your launch, as well as the product. It's all there in this spreadsheet. And it's just this like magical process. And I just encourage everyone to practice copy stalking. And you never grow out of copy stalking. I still copy stalk to this day. I just spend so much time writing down in my spreadsheet, like copying and pasting, literally, like, what are my ideal customers saying that they're struggling with? What are they saying that is their desires? What are the questions that they're asking? How can I answer that in my next product? I'm just constantly doing this.
I love that. We'll definitely put a link to that in the show notes. And I just want to echo how powerful that can be. We're not quite as organized, but we keep surveys and we ask questions and we keep Facebook threads. We are all like, if I write something, there's a good chance somebody said it to me at some point to spark that within my sales copy. So
I always tell my audience, I'm like, I don't write this shit. You guys write this
shit.
Yes.
People are like, you're reading my mind. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm repeating your words.
Yeah. Like you wrote this. I'm just saying it back to you.
Yes.
So that's really, really powerful. That's like the first step.
Love it. And then what does the word hustle mean to you as it applies to business?
Good point. Good question. I have like a love-hate relationship with the hustle. I last year hustled my way into the hospital multiple times. So I am very familiar with the hustling life where you just work 22 hours a day for like an entire year and then you end up hospitalized like many times. It's just not fun. So I really had to this year get over a huge mindset hump and disassociate that level of hustle and pain and exhaustion from success. So part of my like personal inner work in the last few months has been trying to tell myself like, that's not the price I need to pay in order to reach my goals. There's going to be other prices that I can pay, like things I can buy with money, like Facebook ads. Disassociating those two things over the last year has been big for me and realizing that I'm hustling now is me having like 5 to 6 hours a day where I'm in intense, deep focus. So instead of being super busy doing tons of garbage for 22 hours a day, I have hustled by amplifying and like cloning my own output by hiring a bunch of people. So I've hustled, kind of amplified my hustle by like hiring these other people. I think I always think of Amber,
yeah,
clone yourself as like, I'm like, oh, she has such a good way of saying it. And then also just realizing like, it's better for me to do like 6 hours a day of like very meaningful, deep focus work that's incredibly productive than to do 20 hours a day that is like really scattered and stress induced and like not really moving the needle.
I love that. And I know that we talked a little bit about this when we were in Florida. Oh my gosh, everything just runs together. That I went through a very similar but different experience where I got to deal with some of my own stuff with hustling too hard. And so I love when I can meet someone who's gone through that same process of It doesn't have to be this whole, like, live your life with ease and flow and float off on a wisp of wind and collect your paychecks. And it also doesn't have to be this whole head down, if you're sleeping, you don't care mentality. Yeah. There's this middle ground where you can live a good life, do good work, and work 30 hours a week and, like, feel really fulfilled. So I love that. So before we wrap up, tell us, where can we go if we want more, and what are you working on right now?
Okay, so if you guys want more, go to femtrepreneur.co, okay, femtrepreneur.co, and we have, just like you have, we have a start here page that kind of shows you, depending on where you're at in your business, if you're just starting out, if you have already made those first couple sales, or if you're looking to scale and grow your business, we have resources for you at every stage. So go there. You can also listen to our podcast, The Fem Show, at thefemshow.com. Some of the things that we're working on this year is, we really, honestly, to me, the most exciting thing, and, like, seems really different, is that we're not really launching and creating a million new things. We are just always now trying to reinvest back into what we've already created and really honing in and just making the courses that we do have. We have three courses, Your First 1K, Webinar Rockstar, and Launcher Signature Course. We just want to put everything back into making those the absolute best resources that exist on the planet. And I'm confident that they are. I know that sounds kind of, but, like, I just know, you know, our students get the best results, and I'm confident that we're putting the absolute best stuff out there. So we just want to put more and more back into them and making those courses just better and better rather than launching a million new things. I am going to be working on a book, working on, you know, little side projects and stuff like that. But those are always the big things.
I love it. And we will put a direct link to your website. I looked up our link so that I could give it during the interview part. So it's heartsoulhustle.com/47. We will link to femtrepreneur.co. We'll also link to your free challenge, which I highly recommend those of you looking to build your list.
Thank you.
Check out. It's going to be awesome. And before we leave, I just want to give you a big thank you for being on the show. This is going to be an awesome episode. I just cannot wait to release it.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you having me, and just so excited to be able to hang out with you.
Yay. All right. Well, we will probably be having you back soon because it was just a great interview. All right. Talk soon.
Thank you.
So did I tell you or what? Not a bad interview with Mariah Cause, if I do say so myself. And before I end this interview, I wanted to point out a couple of things. Number one, if you head over to heartsoulhustle.com/47, again, it's heartsoulhustle.com/47, we will have the links to the show notes, a link to that challenge on how to get your first 100 subscribers, which y'all know I love me some challenges, and I think Mariah Cause is genius, so I recommend you check it out. But I wanted to just recap some really awesome stuff that Mariah talked about. The first thing is, we kind of demystified with case studies and people that Mariah has helped that you do not need to be business to business to be profitable online. You can teach people in every conceivable niche, and when you position it right, it's profitable. We also talked about, if you're looking to develop your first online course, that it makes the most sense to start with a low commitment product. We talked a little bit about how you really want to make sure that you are releasing products that you have the ability to create. When we talk about pre-selling and the value of pre-selling, I know that I hear from students from time to time that they get overwhelmed because how are they supposed to create an entire course on day one? And Mariah says, you're not. You're supposed to create something introductory and simple and build your expertise in creating those products over time, because you might be an expert in what you're an expert in, but you might not be an expert at creating digital products. And that's okay. It comes with time. We also gave you some tips on how to break into the industry that you're in to get more eyes on your content. Fortunately, what it really comes down to is just doing the work that other people won't. Sending the request for guest posts, doing the research on forums, creating profiles, and becoming part of these communities. You have to actually do something and find problems that exist and create solutions for them. And if you're paying attention to these communities, sending out emails, engaging with people, the problems will start to come to the surface. And Mariah also said she has a really awesome resource on that that we'll link up as well. Once you kind of launch that first course, you have confidence, you have capital, and you have a product. And from there, it's all about taking it to the next level, expanding those courses, making it a signature product, or having it as a side product that you continue to sell as you develop your signature course. I thought this interview was just packed with amazing content. I wanted to recap it. Again, if you want any of the resources that we mentioned, you can head over to heartsoulhustle.com/47, get your hand on those, and I will see you next week with another episode of the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.